Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Scream Picks Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Kit Bone. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about three movies coming out this weekend. And joining me in this conversation is my very good friend, Joel Amos of themoviematch.com. Joel, how are you doing today? How are you doing?
Pretty good.
So three movies coming out this weekend. We're actually on top of it this week. I'm going to start off by talking about Uncharted, which I had a chance to see, but Joel hasn't had a chance to see quite yet. It is a action-adventure based on a popular video game starring Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg. Let me read the description here. Street-smart Nathan Drake, played by Tom Holland, is recruited by seasoned treasure hunter Victor Sully Sullivan, Mark Wahlberg, to recover a fortune amassed by Ferdinand Magellan, and that was lost 500 years ago by the House of Moncada. But starts as a heist job for the duo, becomes a globe-trotting, white-knuckle race to reach the prize before the ruthless Santiago Moncada, played by Antonio Banderas, who believes he and his family are the rightful heirs. If Nathan Sully can decipher the clues and solve one of the world's oldest mysteries, they stand to find $5 billion in treasure, and perhaps even Nate's long-lost brother, but only if they can learn to work together. All right, well, the premise sounds silly. It is kind of silly, the movie. But, you know, it is kind of one of those, you know, action-adventure epics, you know, lots of action sequences and special effects and all of the good stuff that you want in a movie of this nature. You can probably tell it's based on a video game just from all of the moving parts that happen in the movie. But I think it's better than, say, like Tomb Raider, actually, in my opinion. I thought Tomb Raider was pretty good, but I feel like this is a little more exciting. Tom Holland is who sells it. He's just one of these actors now that I just love to watch, and he really has all the action moves down. You know, pretty well. Mark Wahlberg, and he and Mark Wahlberg kind of have a nice banter going on between them. But, you know, Mark is pretty much playing Mark. there's a lot of fun people also. Antonio Banderas kind of as the bad guy. He's great. There's Sophia Ali, who plays sort of the third person in the race to get the gold. And then kind of an additional sort of sidekick bad guy is played by Tati Gabrielle. She was really good.
There's not a whole lot more to it than just a bunch of action sequences and, you know, trying to find out the clues and treasure hunting. So it has all of those elements to it. Probably my favorite part, though, was sort of the last kind of, you know, climactic action sequences with flying ships and falling off of them and coming back on them in a kind of a swashbuckling way. I don't want to give too much away, but I'm sure from the trailer, I think they have a couple of shots from that sequence. But I really thought it was pretty exciting. I was kind of on the edge of my seat. But, you know, overall, it's just kind of your standard fare of action adventures, made a little bit better, I think, by Tom Holland. I mean, what have you heard about it, Joel? Hello?
Joel?
Uh-oh. Hold on. Joel, you there?
Yeah.
Hey. So, what have you heard about Uncharted?
I heard it's good. I heard that it feels like, you know, it's a popcorn movie. And you just go in there
exactly.
And let your mind go and just enjoy it. Although I did read one review that made me laugh. Because I felt like Mark Wahlberg was acting in this movie like Andy Samberg on SNL doing Mark Wahlberg.
Yes. He was. He really wasn't doing too much with it. Yep. But I just, you know what? I love Tom Holland now. I think, you know, he's got this charm to him, and he's even if he's kind of in a middling movie, he makes it better, I think. I really enjoyed having him in this. And they're hoping that this will do well at the box office so they can start a franchise on it. But I could see that happening. I mean, you know, treasure hunting is always kind of a good premise to base an adventure on, don't you think?
Yeah, and I was just thinking, has Tom Cruise ever made one? Because I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah, he would.
I don't think he has.
I don't really think he has. He's done more of the spy.
Action, agents.
Yeah, stuff.
Secret agents, this, that, and the other thing. Like him playing a treasure hunter?
I don't think so. You're right. He should do that. Or just hand it off to Tom Holland. He can do it. He can do that
right.
And Spider-Man at the same time. You know, we've got this one, and we also have The Lost City, which is coming up with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. That looks kind of similar to, like, Romancing the Stone and that kind of thing. But I don't know. I like Channing movies. I do. Yeah, they're fun. Speaking of Channing Tatum, that leads us to our next movie. It's called Dog. It stars Channing, as well as he was the co-director on it. I think this is his first sort of foray behind the lens there. Let me read the description. Two former Army Rangers are paired against their will on a road trip of a lifetime. Briggs and Lulu, a Belgian dog. Race down the Pacific Coast.
German Shepherd.
They're called a Belgian Malinois. Malinois. Malinois? I don't know, whatever. It's a pretty dog. Race down the Pacific Coast to get to a fellow soldier's funeral on time. You did see this, so tell me, I'll let you start us off. What did you think of Dog?
Oh, I loved it. I really loved it. And I might be a little biased. There's such a huge dog person. And I have a special affinity for dogs that serve in the military and the countless hours of combat that they've seen. And to think that they escaped without PTSD, which is a huge problem in our soldiers, is really naive.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie really just, like, takes that on head on. But yet it's also kind of, you know, fun. It's kind of a comedy. It's a road trip comedy. But it's also about, you know, a guy and his dog. But, you know, the dog is completely psycho. It needs, you know, a restrainer and, you know, can't be out without its muzzle, without attacking people. And somehow Channing Tatum has to get this dog to his handler's funeral, who had killed himself, talking about PTSD. And he has to drive from Montana to Arizona. And I was there for it. I was just there for it. And along the way, there's some family that Channing Tatum's character has that they kind of interact with. The dog Lulu meets his brother, her brother, which I thought was touching and a real turning point in the movie, I thought, too,
mm-hmm.
That whole section
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles. I thought that really put a lot of thought into Channing Tatum's Briggs' head. I really enjoyed it. I think if you love dogs, if you love movies that really paint our military as the heroes that they are, and the sacrifice that they put out all the time, including the canine soldiers,
mm-hmm.
It really is a love letter to all of that and just something that really, I think, needs to be saluted. And I just thought Channing Tatum did great. I mean, I can't believe, like, these actors who are in every scene, which I think Channing is in this movie, they're like, that's the movie I want to be my directorial debut, where I'm busy all the time as an actor, but sure, I'll direct too, which is why I think he was smart and brought in a co-director who wrote the script.
Right.
And I just, some of those shots were gorgeous. And the way that those were framed, like the one where he's sitting on the hood of his Ford Bronco and the dog is just looking up at him and he's writing and the Pacific Ocean is crashing into the rocks. And I'm like, what a shot. And there's one with the sun setting and they get the flags flowing in the wind just right. I just really, really enjoyed it.
Me too. I did. It was very, very touching and funny. You know, it kind of starts off like a Turner and Hooch situation, you know. And Channy can handle both sides of that. But clearly this was a story that really spoke to Channing. And, you know, you can tell that he was definitely, you know, passionate behind it and passionate about it, I should say. And, you know, certainly it moved him, I think. That's what I felt like. It's like he probably read this story or a similar type story and thought, you know, what a great road trip type movie we could do, you know. And it just, yeah. You know, I'm watching this and thinking, oh, my God, please do not have this dog die or I am just not going to be happy right now. So that's a spoiler alert, but it doesn't matter.
The studio has actually taken that by the horns. They actually put out a Instagram post today and a tweet that just their whole advertising bit today is the dog doesn't die. Because so many people just won't go into a movie.
Destroyed me.
if they know that that's going to happen, and that way people can see that. Like, forget the catchphrase or whatever that's meant to sell the movie. Today's catchphrase is the dog lives.
Well, the dog lives. The dog lives. Yeah, yeah. I would have been very unhappy about that. So, but yeah, I mean. And like any great road movie, you have all these little vignettes that happen to them as they go along, you know, and each person they encounter or people they encounter, it brings them, you know, sheds more light or brings them, the dog and Channing, closer together. I mean, it was just all really, really well done. And I'm telling you, the simplest of premises or the simplest of structures, I should say, to make a very good movie, you know. You don't have to be overcomplicated about any of this. It's about a guy going on a road with a dog that he doesn't know very well and gets to know him. But also, like you said, it's also a very poignant story about our veterans and, you know, the hell that they go through. In fact, I actually asked my husband, I said, you know, I mean, I understand the, I understand the idea of, you know, of defending your country. And, you know, I know these men, they go in, and women, they go in and, you know, they have a very patriotic duty that they want to fulfill. I get that. I totally understand it. But at the same time, you know, you watch all these movies and you think the hell and the horror that they see, you know, on a regular basis, or the fear or the constant anxiety. I mean, I just don't know if I knowing going in that could happen to me. I just don't know if I would be able to do that, you know, because these men come back and men and women, men and women come back and animals, I guess, and canines come back with, you know, with just these emotional scars, and it's just hard. It's hard. And it seems like it's just, well, I shouldn't say it hasn't always been hard, because, you know, we've seen several movies, even all the way back to World War I and the Civil War. You know, it's inevitable. That's something, you know, that you're going to see or participate in something that's going to traumatize you. I don't know. It was very moving. Like you said, it's like these people must know what they're getting into somewhat when they go into the service, and you have to just salute them for their bravery and their, you know, and their perseverance, I guess.
I love there's a, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Oh, I love how there's one point where he's having an argument with somebody. I think it might be when he was in Oregon with those two quirky ladies. And somebody throws a brick through his car or window, and then Lulu jumps out and attacks the guy, which Channing Tatum tried to warn him. And when the guy gets really mad and upset, he's just like, this dog is a hero. This dog saved hundreds of lives. This dog has saved my life countless times. And it's just like, you realize, like, and then the, Just the trigger.
It is a really good movie.
The triggers.
Yes.
Set the dog off.
Because the dog doesn't
know.
I mean.
We want to think that
animals like dogs and horses are, you know, they know exactly what's going on in their environment at all times. But it's not necessarily the fact. This dog has been trained to be a soldier. And so for him, or for her, actually, it's a female dog. For her, she this is what she's been trained to do. So
I love how they had her so beloved by the whole regiment.
She
was vicious in the fight, but back at the base, she was a cuddle bunny. She was pet therapy for every soldier there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as if what she was doing in the field wasn't enough. Like, okay, Lulu, come home and take a nap. You don't have to snuggle with everybody, but that was part of her job in her mind.
And probably helped her too.
I recommend this wholeheartedly, and excited to see what Channing does next beyond that movie with Sandra Bullock that we just talked about.
And it's good to see him back too, because he took a little bit of a break there. He hasn't been in too many movies of recent years, so nice to see him back. What rating would you give Dog? 1 to 5 stars.
4.25. It's not a hit you over the head, oh my gosh, this movie. But it's so good. It's so fun. It leaves you feeling good. And I shed a few tears here and there.
Sure did.
But
I agree.
What dog movies don't you?
When they're done right,
Right.
And he doesn't talk, thankfully. So there's that. I don't know. I'm getting tired of the talking dogs, but this was just a pure, flat out, just the relationship between a dog and a man and a dog. So, I'd say 4.25 too. Actually, and to backtrack here, I didn't actually give my rating for Uncharted, which I would give 3.5. 3.5. I feel like it's a good popcorn movie and worth to see, and certainly try to see it in the big screen, because I think that'll make it'll be more spectacular that way. All right, so the last movie we're going to talk about you saw, but I did not, because as everyone might remember, I'm not the biggest fan of, gory horror movies. It is a reboot of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was, what year was the original? Do you know off the top of your head?
74.
Right here, let me read the description. After nearly 50 years of hiding, Leatherface returns to terrorize a group of idealistic young friends who accidentally disrupt his carefully shielded world in a remote Texas town. Well, that's unlucky for them, isn't it? Very unlucky. Let's see who stars in it. Elsa Fisher, we love her from what was the name of that movie? Why am I blanking on it? The Bo Burnham movie. I can't remember it. Anyway. Huh?
Eighth grade.
Thank you. Also, Sarah Yarkin. Jacob Lattimore. I recognize some of these faces. So go ahead and tell us, how was this reboot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Actually, and I don't know how they really pulled this off, because it has the same name, but it's actually a sequel.
Okay.
So it basically refers to the original quite a lot. And actually, the one woman that survived the original attack in 1974, by the second half of the movie, and I don't want to give away too much, because, everybody knows she's still alive, but apparently she's joined, the police, and she spent 34 years or whatever searching for this guy to make him pay for killing her friends. And it's driven her whole life, and she's been completely unsuccessful. So we find out, meanwhile, this whole time, Leatherface has been hiding out in the attic of his mom's house. And there's this town, and it's pretty much a dead town. It's a ghost town, but there's 4 or 5 people that live there. And these yuppie kind of people from Austin come down, and they buy up the whole town, and they want to kick everybody out. Well, basically, you're opening Pandora's box. The grandma or the mom just, like, has this heart attack and is taken away. And next thing you know, Leatherface is free to do what he wants. And he does what he does. So it's kind of like, watch what you do. But, I mean, it was – I thought it was overly simplistic. I mean, it seemed to take place on a single street in a single small town in Texas. And it's one of these movies where you feel kind of self-contained and that it, at any given time, like, all you need is somebody with a gun to, like, be involved in this. And you can just put this guy down. But, yeah, I don't know. He's really quick. Like, he's quick getting guns out of people's hands. And I don't know. I think it was a missed opportunity, too, because it was all these – influencers, and it was trying to be a commentary on Instagram and YouTubers and stuff like that, and they were going to make over this town in their idealistic vision after Black Lives Matter and all these things. They want a perfect town, and as one of the town people say, sounds like a cult, and they're like, it's not a cult. Say, no, it sounds like a cult. And so you know, like, okay. And, like, you know, one guy, when he's confronted with, I mean, I'm not really giving anything away. There's a lot of killing, like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, one guy, when he sees Leatherface coming, he takes out his phone and he goes to Instagram Live. And he's like, check out this guy, everybody. And all of a sudden there's comments coming up his page and the guy's coming at him with the chainsaw. And he's like, you do anything with that, you're so canceled. I'm like, oh, my God, this is one of the stupidest lines I've ever heard in my life.
Really? Oh, my,
like,
God.
This guy has a chainsaw. Why are you recording this? So, I mean, I know horror movies is filled, and that's what makes them fun. Plenty of opportunities for the audience to scream at the screen, you know, like, why'd you go upstairs? It's the house where the killer lives. But, like, this just
Lordy.
Feels like it was mailed in, kind of. And I'm surprised because it's not directed, but it's produced and written by Fede Alvarez. And I really like his work. He did Don't Breathe. He did the remake of Evil Dead that was really good. A Girl in the Spider's Web, which I actually rather liked. So I know the guy's got a lot of talent, but maybe because he wasn't the director, it didn't quite get to the vision of what he would have done. But it just felt... And also, this whole time, they come to town, of course, in a Tesla, and it's a self-driving Tesla. And the whole time, it's the only car parked on the street, in the main street of this town. And chaos is going on. People are being killed. I mean, they have this busload of investors coming to town, and you're like, oh, great, more people for him to kill. You could see these things coming from a mile away. And you're like,
oh,
okay. And then, you know, meanwhile, this entire time, there's a car sitting there that they drove in from Austin that they could just get into and leave. And they make a big deal because this local steals the keys to the bus. I'm like, you guys didn't come in a bus. You came in a car. And the car is right. Why are you not driving away?
It's
so,
like that commercial. It was a commercial. What was that commercial? I can't remember what it was for, but were the murderers like, what is with these people? Don't they see, like, they go, oh, let's go into the garage that's full of knives and chainsaws and pitchforks. And the murderer's like looking at the camera going, all right, I'll kill you. That's what you want.
they make this too easy. So, yeah, I was curious what they would do with it because the 1974 film is just considered such a classic. And I just feel like they've been chasing that bottled lightning for a long time. And I had just read, getting ready for the show, that this is actually the 10th Chainsaw movie. And they're considering this to be the actual direct sequel to the first one.
Like Halloween.
So
they're following the Halloween.
Right. They are following the Halloween model. That's exactly what I thought when the movie ended. especially with how it ended.
Right.
I was like, oh, you're doing the Halloween thing, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I say disappointed. And the thing is, it's on Netflix. You're already paying for Netflix. If you like that kind of thing, it's not a terrible time. There's lots of eye rolling, but, like, it's okay.
I'm not going to watch it.
No.
I can tell you that flat out, but you're right. I'm sure teenagers will probably want to watch it. Like, oh, there's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, let's watch it this weekend. You know, I have a feeling that'll be, and I bet you, let's just see, but I could be wrong, but I bet you on Saturday it'll be trending number one on Netflix. Be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking. So, I mean, what rating would you give it?
2.
All right, well, that's
two.
Not bad. Completely off.
Yeah, and I can forgive a lot, but yeah, 2.
2. Okay. All right, well, that should do it for us. Again, a couple of them in the theaters. Is Dog just in the theaters for now? But for popcorn movie, you've got Uncharted. For Dog, you know, for a great road trip movie that's very heartfelt, you've got Dog, and then if you want to watch Carnage, then I guess you watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix. Next week, actually, we don't really have too much going on. I'm looking at the release here that I can see, but I'm sure we'll have a few maybe to talk about next week. Following, however, is The Batman. So we'll have to see. I'm going to actually be out of town, but I think we're going to try to work it out where we can at least maybe talk about that real quick. On March 4th is when that opens. So thank you, Joel, for joining us, of course, always. And you can read all of Joel's reviews and his features on his website, themoviemensch.com. And so we'll talk to everyone soon. Have a great weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.